probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much. Me anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I sow. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Ain't got a lot of but I got a friend in Jesus that makes me rich enough. And I thank God for all his blessings on me and the mercy he's bestowed. Cause my cup has overflowed. Oh, sure, I've been through some storms in my life, and I'm sure there was times that, well, maybe my faith got a little thin. But you know what it seemed like? It seemed like one day, all at once, those old dark clouds broke and the sun, she came shining in again. So Lord, help me not to grumble and complain about the tough roads I have hoed. I'm drinking from my soul, 'cause my cup has overflowed. And if I should go on living and the way gets steep and rough, I won't ask for other blessings, Lord. I'm already blessed enough, and may I never be too busy, dear Lord, to help another bear his load. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Yes, I'll keep drinking from my saucer, dear Lord, 'cause my cup has overflowed. My cup has overflowed. Thank you, Jesus.
in heaven, the Savior said goodbye. As he started on his journey, the holy angels cried. He turned to face his Father. This they heard him say: mankind owes a debt below that only I can pay. But I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I'll be gone for a little while. One day I'm coming back. I'll be back. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus told his men, you see the Son betrayed there, and there I'll be condemned. You'll see them mock me and curse me. You'll see me crucified. You'll see me suffer in agony. There you'll see me die. But I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Just a few short days and I'll be back. And after they laid my sweet Jesus in the tomb, he got up and took a trip down below. Showed the devil that he had lost the battle for man's soul. And I believe that as he took the keys, he looked the devil right in the eye. He said the grave could not hold me, headed back to glory. So devil, just keep this in mind. I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I'll be gone for a season, oh boy. One day I'm coming back. I'll be back. One day on a hillside, as Jesus rose up in the clouds, the words he spoke came flooding back to some young men in the crowd. He said, I go to prepare a place, but I'll be back again. Gonna take my people to a land where joy shall never end. 'Cause I'll be back. Christians, don't lose faith, 'cause I'll be back.
Man, I really enjoy that song. Thought about that song this morning and appreciate them singing it this morning. Fantastic. You know, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved. Glad I know who I'm talking about when I get up here. I'm glad I met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. It's the most important thing you'll ever do in your life. You know, you can go through life and you can think about what's important to you. You know, the education, you know, what am I going to do? Where am I going to live? What am I going to have? Nothing's more important than knowing Jesus. I like that song. He said, I'll be back. Won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And he ascended, but he said, I'm coming back. I'm going to take you to a place that's as grand and it's unlike anything you'll have. You know, we were kidding a little bit here before the service. And, you know, I'll tell you what I believe heaven. I believe heaven's going to be very, very satisfying. Now, I believe that when we get there, I believe God's going to give us a lot of the desires of our heart. And, you know, when you begin to study about what heaven is going to be like, The more I study it, the deeper and deeper it gets. It's kind of like some of those questions in Sunday school this morning. They just get deep. And sometimes you can get off and, you know, you just, like I was telling Brother Billy, we were talking before church as well. The more I study the Word of God, the more I realize how much I need to learn. I mean, the more I open it and I say, you know, I've been studying it all my life, sometimes I feel like if that's all I did, and you think, well, I don't get much out of reading the Bible. I want to tell you something. If that's all I did, I could not accomplish it. I couldn't accomplish it all. I couldn't get it all. And sometimes I sit down and I study and God begins to open things up to me and I'm overwhelmed. Sometimes I'll study a little bit and I'll get up and walk around and I'll meditate and I'll come back and I'll get back into it again. I'll get up and walk around and meditate. But, it's God's Word is amazing. He is coming back, folks. He's coming back. But the message that I have for you this morning is out of Luke chapter number 19. It's the parable of the 10 pounds. Now, the Lord is coming back, but I have a question for you. What are you going to do in the meantime? If you want to rise to your feet with me, let's read in Luke chapter number 19. We're going to read a few verses, about 15 verses, but it won't take us that long. But I want to read the message here, the scripture that says the parable of the 10 pounds, and the title of our message is going to be Occupy Till I Come. That's what he told them, and you find, look for that when we read in the scripture in the Word of God. It says in the 11th verse in the 19th chapter of Luke, and it says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. Now that occupy till I come, it could mean trade with this or work with this. So he gave them the 10 pounds, and in the 14th verse it says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, and he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, my pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, my pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou thy money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto him, unto them that stood by, take from him that hath the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Now that's the parable of the 10 pounds from the 11th verse to the 27th verse. And if you'll go back and look at the 13th verse, when he gave it to them, he said, Occupy till I come. Now let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for Jesus Christ our Savior. Lord, I thank you for this season, Lord, a season of Thanksgiving, Lord, a season of Christmas and what it represents. God, we thank you for your mercy, your love, your goodness, for all the blessings that you've poured out on us. Lord, we thank you for this church, Lord. We thank you for the good singing we've heard this morning. And Lord, we thank you for these people, Lord, that are here, that you've sent here, that you've allowed to be here to worship with us this morning. God, we pray that you'd open the scripture to us, give us understanding, give us wisdom, and give us something, Lord, from your word that we could take home with us that will help us be more of what you'd have us to be. We ask you, Lord, these things, and we pray, trusting in you, looking to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to try to preach to you this morning this thought, occupy till I come. Now, he called these servants to him, and he said, I'm going on a journey, and he gave them a pound each. And he said, occupy, which is to trade with this or work with this until I return. Then you go on down and you see something that kind of sticks out to me. He said, he that is faithful over a little, I will make ruler over much. You know, sometimes what we look at as being important or what we look at as being a big deal, sometimes it's not really what God looks at. Sometimes people spend their whole life trying to accomplish something that in the end, what does it really matter? You know, I got this little sign on my wall at work that's one of those little post-its, you know, that people have in their office. And every now and then I'll go by and they'll have one. And I saw this one on a boy's desk one day and I said, tomorrow when you tear that off, I want it. And here's what it says. It says, when I take inventory of the things that matter most in life, I find that none of them will have been purchased with money. So sometimes we have to be careful when we're looking at what's important. And when he says to occupy, to work with this, or trade with this, what is he really talking about? You know, he came to him and he spoke these words to him because the people wanted Jesus Christ, if he was the Savior, to set up a kingdom on the earth. He wanted someone to reestablish a kingdom there of the Jews to where they would not be under Roman rule, to drive out all of their enemies and to allow them to have great victory on this earth. But Jesus didn't come to set up a kingdom on this earth, not that type of a kingdom. He came to pay the redemptive price for all mankind, and he did that on the cross. And just as he said, he says, I'm coming back, folks, he's coming back. Now, in the meantime, and here's the question, what are you and I going to do in the meantime? Now, I believe the Lord's coming back. I believe he is because God's word says that he is. I believe he is because there has to be a purpose in life. I believe he is because I don't believe this world can continue forever without the Lord coming back. I believe what the Bible says. But what are we going to do in the meantime? Well, our command is to occupy. Our command is to take what God has given us and work with it until Jesus comes. Now, my life, really, if I'm saved by the grace of God, and there was a lot of things said in Sunday school this morning, and I'm sitting there, and sometimes they say, Brother Joe, you have anything? Folks, y'all don't realize how difficult it is for me to sit there when you ask me, do I have anything, and be quiet. But I try to do that because I'm going to get my opportunity to speak, okay? But I sit there and I listen to all these things, and you know, when we go through life, what's life really about? The truth is, your life, if you're saved by the grace of God, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And the way that you live, it ought to be lived to honor and glorify the Lord in everything that you do. You know, if I'm able to get up in the morning to go down there to that job, and folks, I want to tell you something. I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord this morning. You know, I was sitting there in Sunday school, and I looked around, and I looked at all the people, and I looked at their hair, and I looked at the way they were dressed, and I looked at them, you know what I thought? I thought every one of these people had to get up this morning. They had to make a conscious effort that they're going to be in the house of the Lord. And believe it or not, my son woke me up at 8 o'clock. He said, Dad, you getting up this morning? Now, that's unusual for me. I jumped up, and I thought I was in a panic. I had an hour, but I was still in a panic because it's unusual. You know, but you had to get up. You had to make a conscious effort to come to the house of the Lord. But you know what? That's what you ought to do. That's what you ought to do because God gives you the privilege and the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. In the morning when that alarm clock goes off, it does not matter how I feel. It does not matter whether I want to or not. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go down to a job. And as I go down there, I'm going to be mentally preparing myself for the day and for the things that I'll have to face. And I'll be thanking God for the opportunity to do it because the fear that every man has is not to be able to do the things that he's supposed to do. Now, I know we're living in a time and a day when that's changing, but that's my biggest fear, is that I wouldn't be able to do it. And you know, as we're living in a time today that we ought to be serving the Lord, what should we be doing? And that's what I want to talk about first this morning, the what of occupying. Let's look at the what of occupying. Number one, if you're going to occupy, you cannot lose your vision. But you know, we're living in times today that I believe we're getting closer and closer. As I've heard preachers preach, I can remember hearing my daddy say, we're living in the Saturday afternoon of time. But you know, I believe people today, if you're not careful, you'll lose your vision. When you lose your vision, trouble begins to happen. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We need to have a vision of a lost and a dying world. We need to have a vision of being able to see God's kingdom go forward. We need to have a vision of being able to see our souls, our children's souls get saved. You know, as I look over here, I want you to know something, young people. Y'all are really my favorite group. Now, I know I stand this way and preach most of the time. Y'all probably be uncomfortable if I did this. But y'all are my favorite group. You know, church, we need to have a vision that our young people would grow up and be what God wants them to be. And if we're going to have that fulfilled, we've got to be here. We've got to be faithful. We've got to do our part, and we've got to do what God's called us to do. I heard a little boy one time. He was 14 years old. He said, you know, when I was 14, I just quit church. How do you quit church when you're 14? You know what he said? He said, well, my mom and daddy stopped going, so I stopped going. That's usually the way a 14-year-old quits church. You know, if we lose our vision, we're not going to understand the what of occupying. We're not going to have a vision to be doing what God wants us to do. You know, sometimes you got to get up and get ready whether you feel like it or not. You know, we're going to do it in the morning and go thank God we have a job, even if we hate the job. We have a church where God's Spirit is real, where people love one another. We ought to get up and come whether we feel like it or not. And I know you go, you know, there are times you can't come. Folks, I want to tell you something. There's some folks sick this morning that if they could, they'd be here. You know, I remember when my dad got sick and it was to where he couldn't go to the house of the Lord. It tore him up. It wasn't to where I just don't feel like it this morning. I can remember times the last time he pastored, he came down to the church and they put a straight back chair out in the yard, and all he could do is watch them work around the church. And it was his heart's desire to be in the house of the Lord. You know, some people you got to just pull them and pull them and pull them to get them to go to church. I've seen people that want to be here that can't be here. What should we be doing? We should not lose our vision. If you lose your vision, you're not going to see God's work done. Keep your vision of what God expects of you. Number two, keep your vision of the times that we're living in. Now listen to Luke chapter 17, verse 26. It says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went into the Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It said they married, they gave in marriage, they bought, they sold, they planted. You know, the scripture says in one place where the Lord said, I will no longer curse the ground anymore for man's sake. You know, people are going to be doing the same things they're doing today when Jesus comes. Now, we're living in the times. We're living in the times where you can see the signs. But you know, if we don't keep our vision of the signs that we're living in, we'll miss it. The scripture tells us that when we see the sky is red, and you know, it talks about reading the weather from looking at the sky. You know, we were here last Sunday night and we went out and there was a rainbow, and then all of a sudden there was a second rainbow inside of it. The scripture tells us God give us that, and what it means, it's a promise to you and I. And when I looked up at it and I saw it, I thought, how many people in Hiram, Georgia are seeing this rainbow right now and they don't realize how great of a promise this is that God has given us? And as I sit there and I said that, and I think about you and I in the day and times that we're living in, we're living in the times right before the coming of the Lord. And if we lose our vision of the times that we're living in, how are we going to help see our lost loved ones saved? You know, I just come from Thanksgiving dinners, and I got to see family that I don't see all the time. And I got to pray prayers, and you try to get an opportunity to witness as much as you can. But think about that. In order to do that, you've got to have a vision. You know, the other thing is your vision of a lost and dying world. If you don't have a burden, you're not going to spend time in prayer. And one thing I found in my own life, I mean, when I get troubled or I get hurt or something's going on in my life it's not exactly right, I pray. I find time, you know, you're going to get on your knees and pray when you get a bad report from a doctor. You're going to get on your knees and pray when there's trouble going on. But what about when God is blessing you? You know, if you don't keep a vision of how good God is and the things that you need to have right in your life, you won't be praying for lost people. You won't be praying for the opportunity when you're around them to speak the Word of God to them. What about our country? You know, we just come through an election to where there was a big shift from one house to the other. Some people act like they sigh a sigh of relief. Don't sigh a sigh of relief. We in this country, we need revival. And the only thing that's going to change this country is for people to turn back to God. It was mentioned in Sunday school this morning about how they invited a Muslim clerics in to pray at one particular place. But they say, you know, they'll almost be offended if you mention the name of Christ. I was reading this week over in the book of 2 Kings to where Hezekiah had a visit from a man, his name was Barak Baladan, and he was the king of Babylon's son. And when he visited him, he invited him into his house and he showed him everything that he had and he just laid it out before him. But the prophet came and he said, "What did you show him in your house?" And when he began to speak to the prophet Isaiah and he told him, he said, "Because of what you've done, everything that you have here is going to be carried into captivity. Your children are going, and everything that you have is going to be lost." And as I said and I read that scripture, I begin to think about the United States. I think about this church. I think about our churches. That, you know, folks, there's just some things you do not compromise with. And there are things that we don't need to have compromise with in our lives. The what of occupying is that we have a burden for the lost, we have a burden for the condition of this country, and we ought to pray for the continued peace of Israel. You know, we cannot read the Word of God and not believe that Israel has a special place in God, with God, has a special place in history, and it's going to be used by God until He returns. Number two. Number one, don't lose your vision. Number two, don't lose your passion. You know, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul said, and he said these words, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I heard a story this week of a man that had passed. And the story was told that people didn't really realize how much he prayed for his children. But it was told after he had passed that he had sores on his knees where he prayed for his children. I don't know how many of you have ever really heard the story of James Dobson. But James Dobson, one day a week, he fasted for his children. He said he was told by his father that he believed that they had prayed and that God was going to save the children of James Dobson's generation, but nobody said anything about his children. He said, "I couldn't stand it." He said, I decided, my wife and I, that one day a week we were going to have a fast and we were going to fast before God and not eat that day until God saved our children and we knew that they were saved. Paul said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now, I want to tell you something. I believe, as I've said it before, a mother is never happier than her unhappy her least happy child. If your children aren't saved, you ought to have a burden for them. You know, we can look around us at the world and the world that we're living in, and sometimes when I see them and they're mocking us, and I look at them and I you get offended till you stop and realize what their end is going to be. But you know, we ought to have a burden for the lost, we ought to have a burden for our church, and we ought to have a passion about it. A passion. You know, when I come into the house of the Lord, we ought to have a passion about worship. Has God been good to you? Hasn't He really blessed you? Is He worthy of the worship? Don't lose your passion. That's the what of occupying. Number three, don't lose your expectation. You know, sometimes people can say, "Well, we don't live in the times of the great revivals." I was studying with my son, and you know, we were studying about the Great Awakening and the great revivals in this country. And as I began to read, and I looked at some of those preachers' names, and you know, sometimes you hear stories about some of the messages that were preached. Messages like sinners in the hands of an angry God, and you start reading some of those messages. You know, those men weren't different folks than a lot of the men that live today. The difference is in the way that people receive the Word of God. Because we're living in a land today where there's not a famine for the Word. There's plenty of Word going out, but people aren't receiving it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 to 6, it says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." I've heard people sometimes they'll ask a question like when you give an altar call and maybe 100 hands go up. You know, I've seen them things like that at youth rallies or revivals. And they say, "Well, do you really believe that all those people got saved?" Here's the point. If one of them gets saved, it's worth it. You know, it's not up to you and I to worry about that. It's what we ought to do is occupy and obey God and do what God's called us to do. And we ought to not lose our expectation. Here's the point. Expect God to do what He said that He would do. God wants to do great things. Expect people to be saved. Expect lives to be changed. We're living in times to say, sometimes I've heard people say this, "Well, there's no use. I can just serve God from my couch." Folks, there is a use. There is a reason. What we ought to be doing in the meantime is occupying and serving God. We should not lose our expectation. We should not lose our passion. We should not lose our burden. And we should not be stopped by the opposition. Do you know that there are those who oppose us? They want to stop us. We know that we have enemies. But be careful that you're not opposed and desensitized by a worldview that has no moral boundaries. You know, we were sitting there last night and we really wanted to watch the football games. And I searched all the channels that are available to us and the games weren't on there. You know why? Because they're local games, and if you don't have ESPN, you can't see them, right? So we didn't have cable, so we're searching and we saw this movie on the television. And Luke, he giggled and he said, "Let's watch that." Matthew giggled and he said, "Let's watch that." And I said, "Well, I don't know that that is what we're going to watch." And they got to watching a few minutes of it, and I said, "Turn that off. Turn it on something else." Because here's the point. You can become desensitized by a worldview that's anti-God, that accepts everything, and the opposition will stop you from being serious about the things that are most important in life. It's kind of like when you take, and I've heard this is true, and I've never tried this, by the way, but you put the bullfrog in the water, in the pot, and you turn the eye on very, very slow, and as the water just slowly begins to warm, they say that the frog's body becomes adjusted to the water, all the way up till the water begins to boil, and the frog will cook and never jump out of the pot. And that's what's happening in a lot of lives today. We're being stopped by the opposition because we're being desensitized by a worldview and a moral standard that is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. Don't be. Occupy till Jesus comes. I get a letter every week from the NCLL, the National Center for Life and Liberty. It is a group that defends Christians. And they send me something every week to remind me, stand for what's right and stand against what's wrong. We have a mayor that just a week ago, it was on the television, where there's a man that works for him that's captain over something to do with the fire down there. And they took his job away from him because he wrote a book telling what he believed based on the Word of God. And then they tried to say, "Well, it's not about religion." Yes, it is about religion. Do not be stopped by the opposition. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "In God, speaking of God, says, deliver just lot, who is vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. Now, don't be stopped by the opposition. And you say, well, you know, it's just becoming too difficult to stand and really be a Christian. Well, there's really nothing else to be. To whom shall we go? For he has the words of eternal life. See, we're living in times where that God is rejected. Truth is rejected. And remember what they said over here in the 14th verse that we read in the 19th chapter. It says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to rule and to reign over us. Now, if we're going to really become Christians and walk the way that God wants us to do, it's a life of submission to the will of God. Sometimes people come to church and they want God to fix every problem that they've had. They want all of their problems to be solved and then be able to live any way that they want to live. But it's not like that. It's a life of surrender to God. It's like the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The what of occupying. Well, what about the where of occupying? Now think about this for just a minute. Where am I to occupy? Where am I to work for the Lord? It's where you're planted. You say, it's where you're at right now. You know, there have been times in my life that I go through things and I'm looking for God to do something. I'm looking out there, but what God has really a lot of times had to do is get me to look right here. To look right where I'm at and right where I'm standing. And here's the number one place you're supposed to occupy. It's in your home. Do you know that I believe with all of my heart, and I really believe this, I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher, I don't care if you're a preacher, I don't care if you're a pastor in a church with 10,000 people, your biggest and your number one ministry is within your own home. If I cannot be a good husband to my wife and a dad to my boys and to my daughter, then I have no business getting in a pulpit and preaching. You know, people go through life and, you know, sometimes they'll burn out for what they really feel like is important, but they miss the most important thing. I heard a little girl one time, her dad had passed away, and there were all kind of teenage kids that came to see her dad at the funeral. And they were talking about how much of a good man he was and what he did and how much he meant to them. And the little girl said this. She said, I wish I knew my daddy like that. She said, but my daddy was never home. He was always gone. He was always doing what's important to him. And I don't even know who he is. You know, what people say, well, he was doing good things. Folks, your number one ministry is in your home. And I believe that with all my heart. You need to, the where of occupying is at home. It's kind of like people bringing their children to Awana. And I've seen them do this. They'll pull up and they'll open the door. And the man and the wife, they'll go on down the road and have a date. And they're just glad to get rid of them for a little while. You can't bring them to Awana or to Sunday school and them learn everything they need to know about the Lord and be all right. You got to teach it to them at home. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. This is one of those things this morning. My mind got to racing in Sunday school. You know, we're saved by faith today. Folks, they were saved by faith in the Old Testament too. If I had time, I'd give you about 50 Bible verses. But I got to thinking about Deuteronomy over there, chapter number 6, and he said, write these things on the corners of the doorpost of the house and teach them to your children. They were teaching the Word of God to their children as soon as the law was written and handed to man. They would stand all day long from morning until night and they would read it and people would stand and listen to it. And people sought God. Your number one ministry is in your home. It's also in your place of work. This is your biggest mission field. You know, I live in one of those, or I work in one of those companies. It's a big company. Everything's so politically correct, you know. And you got to be real careful. But here's something to understand. You don't have to go in every day and stop people from cursing in front of you. When people say something they're not supposed to say, you stop them and you got to have a pocket full of tracts to hand to them, and you got to be able to lay the law out to what's right. Just live right. Just live right in front of them. Because if you live for God, it's going to show. And you know, there's been times that somebody will come to my office door and they'll just like that. And I want you to know something. That Holy Spirit that's real that lives inside of me, as soon as they open that door, you know what God says? This is not about work. God's already told me. And I'm sitting there and where the Bible says pray without ceasing, I'm doing it because that means you have an open line with the living God. And I'm beginning to pray and ask God to give me wisdom to know how to speak to Him. And there's been people that have surprised me that have come in my office and they lay their heart out in front of you because they believe that you believe what you're talking about. And that's why that your place of work is your biggest mission field. You know, I've been invited by Brother Justice to go to India. I'd love to go. I heard the testimony of Guatemala and the group that we had and the things that were there, and it makes me have a desire to go. And I'll tell you something, folks. Anywhere my wife goes, she just gets wrapped up. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's the hospital to see babies or a mission field or any work. You know, if you've got a heart for the things of God, it's out. But, you know, sometimes what we really ought to realize is if we live every day the way that God wants us to do, we live in the largest mission field in the world, the United States. And that's why people are coming to this country from other countries. It's in our place of work. But you have to earn it. It's one thing I've learned. You might have to work with somebody 5 years or more to get an opportunity to witness to them. You see, when they come to you and they come in and say, can I talk to you a minute? And they shut the door, they've opened the door for you to have an opportunity to witness to them. Occupy. What about in your church? It's our responsibility. You know, I'm so thankful for this church. I really am. I'm thankful, and it's amazing to me when we sit down and we look at it, how much it takes to run the church. You know, I heard Sister Gay this morning, Brother Billy, say she was sick at Thanksgiving. I wonder how much cooking you did. But it's a lot of work, ain't it, brother? You know, we were up there in LJ Friday, and we got up at 7 o'clock. They cooked breakfast, my wife and her mother. They cleaned that up. Then they started cooking. They cooked all they could cook, doing all they could do till 3 o'clock. Then we ate. And we ate too much, like y'all did. Then they started cleaning up, and they cleaned up until 7 o'clock. And I'll tell you, I enjoyed it, but I looked over and I said, this is too much work for y'all. You know what? My mother-in-law, she said, well, a couple of times a year, it's okay. Do you know that having a church like this, it takes a lot of work? It takes a lot of people. And sometimes when we start putting things up on the board looking for volunteers, we're looking for volunteers. We're looking for people that want to serve. And sometimes I've heard so many people say, well, there's just nothing for me to do over there. This is not that place. Occupy till Jesus comes. You can do something for God. Everybody can. What about in your community? Now think about this. When's the last time you invited somebody to come to church? Occupy. When's the last time you just looked at them and said, I want to invite you to church? Run into somebody. I don't care who it is, your doctor, your dentist, somebody at school. Invite them to church. Sometimes people say, well, I just want to go to a place that I can feel welcome. Tell them they'll feel welcome here. Invite them to church. And in all the world. You know, we should support missions because the Bible tells us to. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now he says, I'm coming back, and he says, I'm with you to the end. And folks, there will be an end. And you know, and you can say, well, I just don't see it. I want to tell you something. For you and for me, there's going to be an end. Even if Jesus does not come back, you and I are going to have an end. And we need to be prepared to stand before the Lord, not empty-handed. When I stand before the Lord, what I really want to hear Him say is, enter in, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. Not empty-handed. What is the when of occupying? It's today. Today. Now is the time, as I said it before, and I've heard preachers preach this and say this, we're living in the Saturday afternoon of time. Any of y'all remember hearing preachers say something like that? We're there. You know, there needs to be a sense of urgency or seriousness in the life of today's believer. And I think that's what we need to have in our church. That's what we need to have in our preaching in the church. That's what we ought to have in our Sunday schools. That's what we ought to have in our Awana and in our youth, to realize that there needs to be some seriousness about doing God's work while we have opportunity and time to do it. Because now is the time that God's given us. I don't know that we're going to have tomorrow. I don't know how much I'm going to have. But now is the time. And then there's the why of occupying. Why should we do it? It's because, folks, the Bible tells us, and I believe it with all my heart, Jesus will return. Jesus is coming back. You know, and sometimes I see these people, they're kind of mocking God or making fun. And, you know, sometimes I get to rejoice a little bit until I think about their end. I think, what are all these people that are mocking Christianity going to do when the eastern sky splits? When they hear the voice of God as the sound of many waters, and they see Jesus when He returns, He's not going to be like a babe in a manger, but folks, He's going to be arrayed in all His glory. He's going to have it written on His leg, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to have eyes as a flame of fire, and when He speaks, it's going to be like the sound of many waters. And they can't deny it. You know what the Scripture says? It says they're going to run and they're going to seek for the... They're going to hide in caves and they're going to look for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. It says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess to God that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Why do we need to occupy? Because Jesus will return. Why do we need to occupy? Because we've been told to. You know, the Scripture says that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is. You know, it was mentioned this morning, another thing in Sunday school, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking. You know, I love to be out in the woods, I do, watching the leaves fall. I love it when I walk out in the morning, and I know this is odd to some of you, but the frost crunches under my feet. And I breathe and I see the frost. I love that. Or I love to be out on the water when the sun's coming up and the boat's cutting the water. Not go 70 like Brother Allen, but just go maybe 20 and feel the breeze on my face. I love it. Do I feel close to God? Well, sure I do. Do I worship God out there? Sure I do. But I'll tell you another time I worship God. When we sit down at a birthday party and we set a cake in front of one of my kids, I'm worshiping God. I'm worshiping God every day because it's He that gives us the life that we have. They eat a lot, bro. But every time I feed them, I remind them, thank God. Thank God. You know, we can worship God in a lot of places. But the Bible tells us we ought to come together in His house. And we ought to come together in His house so we can be busy doing what God tells us we're supposed to be doing. But also so we can lift one another up. We need fellowship. We need friendship. And you need to worship. Because He's worthy. He will return, we've been told to. Don't want to be empty-handed. And folks, we need to occupy because He is God. He is the only Lord. He is the only God. You know, sometimes we can get distracted, and I understand. We can get distracted. The pressures of life can become heavy on us, and we can get pulled. And I understand. But sometimes what we have to do is hold on. And I believe all of us have been through this at one time or another. To where you get discouraged. You have things that come against you. And you just want to quit. You hear people say, well, I'm just going to quit everything. I'm just going to quit. I'm wore out. Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. There are things that we need to be doing till Jesus comes. Now here I am, I'm about to have another birthday. Praise the Lord. Don't know how many more I'm going to have. But I'll tell you something, I really mean this, I do not want to do, and I'll ask them to come with a song. I don't want to get to the end of my birthdays and stop serving the Lord. I don't want to get to the end of my birthdays and the last days of my life not be as good as the early days. What I want to do is finish strong. Stronger. I want God to continue to show me things from His Word so that I can learn. I want to continue to be faithful. And I want to continue to occupy so that when He returns, He'll say, you've been faithful over a little. I'm going to make you ruler over a lot. I want to ask you to rise to your feet this morning. And I want to tell you the most important thing. As I mentioned this morning when I started, the most important thing in your life is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can. You got to stop and think about why you're on this earth and why you're even here. It's because of Him. We sing public invitation. We're going to open these altars. Of course, they're always open. If you'd like to talk to the Lord about anything as they sing this song, this is your opportunity this morning.
Just as I am.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm so glad I'm saved. Now, I really believe Jesus is coming back. And if He doesn't come back before my life is over, I'm going to leave here and go be with Him. And I'm looking forward to that day. I believe that this life, it's just temporal. We're just here for a short time. And then we'll go and be with Him. We want to sing one more verse. We're going to open the doors of the church. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be a part of this fellowship, we welcome you to be a part of this fellowship. I still believe that God can do great things. And I believe that God is looking for people that believe He can do great things. And I'm talking about doing great things like seeing souls saved, like seeing in revival, like seeing people begin to worship in spirit and in truth. God is already doing great things. As they sing a song, if you'd like to be a part of this fellowship, this is your opportunity. Amen. Go ahead.
Just as I am.
Don't forget, Tuesday night, we're having dinner at the Rockmart Steakhouse. Here's the directions. You go through Rockmart, you go past the road where this Prospect Drive golf course is at, you go out there just a little ways, go left over the railroad tracks, and then you follow your nose. If you need better directions than that, we'll try to get something text to you. But it's I've heard so much talk about it. It's good, right? It's good. It's good. It's good. Next Sunday morning, special singers here. Next Sunday night, we're going to have a Christmas play for our youth. A lot going on. Awana tonight at 5:30. No Awana tonight. I'm sorry, I'm glad I said that. No Awana tonight, but we're all going to have church service. So let's pray for one another. Brother Tom, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?